This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we plow along in Proverbs, continuing in Proverbs 6 and 7, covering seven abominations, a lamp and a light, self-destruction, treasure up my commandments, and loud and wayward. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power,
a reading from Mark, chapter 11. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." This is the word of the Lord.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Amen.
This is a strange miracle. The cursing of the fig tree. We are simply not used to seeing our Lord manifest his power in this way, to punish and not to help. Now, admittedly, it was a tree that Jesus cursed and not a person. But nonetheless, it is unique among the miracles of our Lord. In virtually every other instance, the miracles demonstrate two basic truths about our faith. The first of them, the divinity of our Lord. When Jesus speaks, things happen. The Word of God incarnate is the Word of God. Wind and waves, bread and fish, disease and devils, they all give way, must do his bidding, even a fig tree. So in this respect, the miracle at hand is like the others. But the second thing that miracles typically do is to show us the heart of our Lord. Jesus helps those who need it. There aren't any random displays of great power. There's no razzmatazz just designed to impress or amaze. Jesus doesn't just do what he does to show who he is. No, Jesus helps. He heals. He cures. He calms. He consoles. He feeds. He overcomes death and devil. That's what we think of when we think of a miracle. The God who helps the helpless. And it was the kind of God that the Jews of the first century needed, and it is precisely the kind of God that we need even to this day, all of us, a God who helps. But this cursing of the fig tree, what was that all about? It just doesn't seem to fit. So, what are we going to do with it? Well, of course, this is not the only reference to a barren fig tree that we have in the Gospels. Jesus also told a parable about a tree like this at the center of the narrative. There's a man who planted a fig tree in his vineyard, and when he discovered the total absence of any fruit, he ordered it destroyed. After all, what's the point of planting a fruit tree and you don't get any fruit? So, cut it down, said the owner. May no one eat fruit from this tree again, said Jesus. And it withered and died. This is a perfect picture of judgment. Sudden, unexpected, final. And it's spoken by our Lord on the Monday of Holy Week. And that's a week otherwise filled with discussion of judgment. Jesus tells parables. Parable of the wedding feast. Parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. Parable of the wicked tenants. All of them end with the destruction of the wicked. It's also the week in which Jesus cleanses the temple, certainly a foretaste of judgment. And then he describes the destruction of that temple, an even better foretaste of judgment. And then finally, he proceeds to describe the final judgment. The Son of Man comes in his glory and he divides the sheep from the goats. And then he proceeds to judge. And he does so on the basis of this standard: by their fruits you shall know them. So to the one group, he says, you fed me, you gave me drink, you clothed me, you visited me, you welcomed me, you did all of that. So come, enter the kingdom. And to the other group, he said, you didn't do any of that. You didn't produce that fruit. So go into judgment, go. So maybe that's the warning that this miracle was supposed to convey. It certainly makes sense. I mean, after all, in the parable, the barren tree got another year. More fertilizer, more care, and then the judgment. But not here. Jesus looks for fruit. He finds none. He condemns the tree. And it withers and dies. The disciples see it. And so when Peter says, look at the tree that you cursed, it's dead, we are sure that our Lord's next word is going to be about judgment. And unless you start producing fruit, that's what's going to happen to you. That's got to be the meaning, doesn't it? I mean, it just makes sense. All the sense in the world, that's it. But it's not what Jesus says, which is still another reason why this miracle is so strange. It's not about the obvious, at least not explicitly so. Judgment for failing to serve God with good works. Instead, our Lord follows up with a statement about the power of prayer. Prayer that puts God's power at the disposal of those who believe. Have faith in God, Jesus says. You can move mountains, Jesus says. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe and you shall have it, Jesus says. Wow. That almost makes the cursing of the fig tree seem a little trivial. Move mountains, whatever you ask for, just believe. Well, that's kind of hard to believe. And maybe that's one of the reasons we sometimes find it hard to pray. Hard to believe, hard to pray. The two go together. So what are we going to do with this? The first thing, of course, is to remember who it is that's saying it. It's not me. It's not even the evangelist. It's not St. Mark. No, he's reporting what others have said, and in this case, it's Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he's the one who has just blasted a fig tree into death and judgment. So he certainly has the power to do what he says, to keep his promises. But Jesus is also the one who more typically used that power in his miracles to help the helpless. But even more extraordinarily, he did not use that power in order to help the helpless. I mean, really help, and really help the really helpless, namely by suffering and dying for our sins. He who is God humbled himself, and as a man took upon and into himself our sins. He didn't have to do that, but he did. That's the God who helps. So, when Jesus says, the one who died for our sins, when Jesus says, the one who rose from the dead for us, when Jesus says, you can pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will believe. God hears and answers prayers for Jesus' sake. But now, what should I pray for? To what end should I direct this wonderful gift? Should I actually ask God to move a mountain? Jesus says that I can. Well, okay. But can I believe that that's what God really wants me to ask for? Move a mountain. That's a little more difficult. And maybe even more difficult is what Jesus adds to the words of our text when he talks further about prayer. I need to read this for you. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. And if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. So forgive. Now, with these words, Jesus directs our attention, of course, to the fifth petition in the Lord's Prayer. And when we're thinking about prayer and answers to prayer, and the words direct us to that prayer, maybe we should just remember that in the Lord's Prayer, we have everything for which we should pray, and precisely in the way that we should pray it. When our Savior says, pray this way, he gives us the key to how and what we should pray for, in complete confidence that God will hear and answer our prayers when we pray how and what our Savior teaches us. In other words, we do need to believe when we pray. That's what Jesus says. And we can believe when we pray on the basis of his own clear word to our Father in heaven. When we pray the way Jesus teaches, we know that God hears. Well, as I said at the outset, this is a strange miracle, the cursing of the fig tree. It reminds us of judgment. We don't have to worry about judgment because the judge is our Savior who died for our sins. Surprisingly, our Lord turns from the miracle to a lesson about prayer. Also somewhat difficult. But we don't have to worry about that either, because our Savior has given us all that we need to know about prayer. And when we follow that, what Jesus says, we know that God always says yes. Amen. It shall be so. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
I cry to you, O Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And I will hold me with the Holy Spirit.
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all day.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness.
O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. O God, our refuge and strength, the author of all godliness, by your grace hear the prayers of your church. Grant that those things which we ask in faith, we may receive through your bountiful mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, you promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. You led him to the land of Canaan, and you sealed your covenant with him by the shedding of blood. May we see in Jesus the seed of Abraham, the promise of the new covenant of your church, sealed with Jesus' blood on the cross and given to us now in the cup of the New Testament. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.